Preparing stems for remix swaps. Intermediate workflow. Drum and bass in Ableton Live. All right, let's talk about stems the way remixers actually experience them. When you send stems, you're not exporting audio. You're handing someone a toolkit. And in drum and bass, where the groove lives in tiny timing details, transients, and the relationship between kick and sub, messy stems can destroy the roll instantly. By the end of this lesson, you'll have a repeatable Ableton workflow to create a proper stem export session. Print a clean stem pack that lines up from bar 1, sounds consistent, and is labeled so well that a stranger can drag it into any DAW and start remixing without asking you 10 questions. First, picture the deliverable. A typical DNB stem pack might include separate drums like kick, snare, tops, and break. Bass split into sub and mid or reese. Music like pads and stabs. Effects like risers and impacts. Vocals if you have them. Optional but super helpful. Return tracks like reverb and delay as their own stems. And always include a mix bus reference bounce so they can hear your intent. And you're also going to include notes. Tempo, key if you know it. Any swing or groove info and a couple of must-know lines like sub is mono, sidechain is printed, returns are 100% wet, stuff like that. Step 0 is the part everybody skips and then regrets later. Decide the remix swap spec before you touch export. Lock in the sample rate, usually 44.1 or 48, and match the project. Bit depth, 24-bit is the standard. Start point is always bar 1 beat 1, so in Ableton that means 1.1.1. Every single time. Even if your actual music starts later, you still export from 1.1.1. Silence is fine. Misalignment is not. Then decide the length, full arrangement, or just intro plus drop plus outro. Whatever you agree on. And the big policy decision. Wet effects. Are you printing wet inside each stem, or giving dry stems plus separate FX returns? For drum and bass, the best answer is often both, if you can manage it. Dry stems for flexibility, plus return stems so your space and energy can be recreated. Now step 1. Clean up your arrangement for export. Bar alignment is king. In Ableton, set your loop brace to the exact export range. That loop brace is basically your contract. What's inside gets delivered. Make sure the session starts cleanly at 1.1.1. And if you've got any long audio clips that could be risky, consolidate them. Select the region and hit Command-J on Mac or Control-J on Windows. Consolidation prevents those annoying missing edge problems when somebody imports your audio into a different system. DNB specific note, pre-drop risers, reverse cymbals, long reverb tails they love to start before a clean downbeat or extend past the end. That's fine. Just make sure your export range captures the full tail. Don't chop the vibe. Step 2. Color code and group like a pro. This is one of those things that feels optional until you receive a stem pack from someone who didn't do it. You want a structure that mirrors a clean mix. Typical groups: drums, bass, music, effects, vocals, inside drums, kick, snare, tops, break, perk and fills, inside bass, sub and mid layers. Then rename everything with a stem-ready naming convention. The simplest win is a prefix: drums underscore, bass underscore, music underscore, effects underscore, vocals underscore. Then add the function, like bass sub mono, drums break amen, effects risers. Ableton names exported files based on track names, so do this before export and you'll save yourself so much time. Step 3. Lock down tempo, warp, and timing. Go through your audio clips, breaks, vocals, resamples, anything that isn't pure MIDI. Check that warp is correct and stable. Use beats mode for drums and breaks because you want transient integrity. Use complex or complex pro for vocals or atmospheric stuff when needed. And here's a key teacher note. If your break is already tight and you're hearing warp artifacts, you can turn warp off, but only if it stays perfectly in time without it. Drum and bass is unforgiving here. If it drifts even a little, your whole groove collapses. Also, groove and swing. If you used groove pool to get shuffle, that's totally valid, but it means the stems need to be printed post-groove so the feel remains. Otherwise, you'll send correct stems that don't feel like your track anymore. Step 4. Sidechain. This is the number one remix swap issue in DNB. If your bass ducks to the kick and snare and that ducking is part of the roll, you have to make sure it survives outside your project. Option A, recommended most of the time. Print the sidechain into the bass stem. Keep your compressor sidechained the way it is, export the bass, and the ducking is baked in. That means your groove translates to any DAW instantly. Option B. provide a sidechain trigger stem. This is great if you want the remixer to change the drum pattern, but still have a clean trigger source. Create a track called a C trigger. Put a simple click or short sample pattern that matches your sidechain rhythm. And important detail, if you mute the track, it might export as silence. So don't rely on muted but still sidechaining. Instead, export an audible trigger at a very low level and label it clearly, or make a dedicated trigger stem that's meant to be used as a key input. A practical check you should do before moving on. Solo kick and bass and listen. Then imagine the kick isn't there, because the remixer might use their own. If the bass stem has the groove baked in, it still feels like it breathes correctly. Step 5. Control low end and phase before exporting. On your sub stem, make it bulletproof. Put utility on it and set width to 0%. Mono, always. Then EQ8. Cut rumble below maybe 20 to 30 Hz. Keep it clean. Don't overhype. You're trying to deliver something that can be layered and mastered later without mystery problems. Then check phase between kick and sub, and also any break that's layered with your kick. In Ableton, utility has phase invert buttons for left and right. Flip them to test. If the low end suddenly gets stronger, you've learned something. If it disappears, you've learned something. The goal is not always invert. The goal is, confirm your low-end relationship is intentional and stable. Step 6. Master processing. Print mix bus-ish processing carefully. If your master has glue compression, saturation, limiting, be careful. If you bake a heavy limiter into every stem export, you're basically delivering pre-crushed audio that stacks badly in a remix. It gets crunchy, fast, and the remixer has no room. So here's the workflow. Duplicate the project and name it something like track name stem export. In that copy, on the master, disable heavy limiting and maximizing. You can keep gentle tonal glue if it's essential, like a glue compressor doing 1 or 2 dB of gain reduction, but don't smash it. Best practice: export stems pre-limiter, and also export one reference mix with your full master chain so they can hear how you intended it to hit. Step 7. Returns. Deal with reverb and delay the smart way. You have two choices. You can print each stem with its returns included, which is easy for the remixer but not flexible, or recommended. Export dry stems, plus separate return stems. If you choose separate returns, name them clearly like return verbi plate and return quarter delay. Make sure they're not clipping. And remember, if you export return stems, those return tracks should generally be 100% wet, because they're the effects themselves, not a blend. In drum and bass, a dedicated drum room return often glues breaks and tops together. If that return is part of your identity, export it. Step 8. Freeze and flatten versus just exporting. If your project has heavy CPU synths, stacked wave-eatable patches, third-party instruments, anything that could change later, freezing is a way to lock in the sound. Flatten if you want it fully committed to audio. Remixers don't need your synth preset. They need reliable audio that sounds exactly like your idea. Teacher tip: do your destructive committing only in the stem export copy, not your main project. Keep your original for recall. Step 9. Export stems properly in Ableton. Highlight the export range with the loop brace. Then file, export audio or video. Set rendered track to all individual tracks, or selected tracks only if you're doing a curated pack. WAV, 24-bit, sample rate matching the project. Dither off, because you only dither when you're going down to 16-bit. Normalize off. Normalize is a silent stem killer because it changes relative levels and can mess up your balance. And pay attention to the option about including return and master effects. If you're exporting separate returns, you usually don't want master effects printed onto everything. Decide your policy and stay consistent. The worst situation is half the stems being what I hear and the other half being dry. Now step 10. Quality control. Do not skip this. Make a brand new empty live set. Drag every exported stem in. Line them up at 1.1.1. Hit play. Ask yourself, does it sound like the track, at least in vibe and arrangement, even if it's a bit less loud because you removed limiting? Are any stems missing keyed effects, like snare reverb tails or delay throws? Is anything clipping? Is the sub wildly different without the master chain? Did N be specific? Does the drop still lock? If the groove feels wrong, it's usually sidechain translation or warp timing. Fix it now, not after someone messages you saying, yo, these stems don't hit. Here's an extra pro check if you want to get fancy. A rough null test inside live. Import your reference mix on one track, and your stems summed on another. Put utility on the reference mix and invert phase left and right. Play them together. You won't get a perfect null because of random LFO phases, FX tails, or small differences, but you should mostly hear residue, not a completely different track. If it's wildly different, something is being printed inconsistently. Now packaging. Make the swap easy to use. Create a folder named something like artist track name 175 BPM stems. Inside, use subfolders like stems D or Y, stems returns, reference mix, and notes. In your notes text file, include BPM, key, swing notes, and a few must-knows. Also include a simple map of the arrangement like drop 1 at bar 33, breakdown at bar 97, drop 2 at bar 113. That saves remixers time immediately. And here's a really good expansion move. Include a sync file, a 1 bar click starting at 1.1.1 called sync 1 bar click. Optionally, a drop marker beep exactly on the drop down beat. This is a lifesaver when someone imports into a DAW with a wrong tempo set at first. It makes your pack DAW proof. Let's talk about common mistakes so you can avoid them. First, stems not starting at 1.1.1. That's the quickest way to get ignored. Second, sidechain disappears, and the bass suddenly feels like it's stepping on the kick. Third, master limiter baked into every stem, causing crunchy stacking. Fourth, returns getting double applied, meaning you printed reverb into stems and also provided a reverb return stem, so everything becomes washed out. Fifth, clipping stems. Even if the master looks fine, individual tracks can clip. And finally, overgrouping. If you only export drums all, remixers can't replace the kick or rebuild the groove. Now, some extra coach level upgrades to make your stem packs feel professional. 1. Build a simple stem print rack chain that goes on every track. Utility for gain staging and mono control. A meter-like spectrum for sanity checks. And a limiter used only as a safety catch. Zero gain, ceiling around minus 0.3 dB, just to catch freak peaks, not to make it loud. The goal is consistency, not loudness. 2. Calibrate headroom. A practical target is individual stems peaking around minus 6 to minus 3 dBFS. Plenty of room. Your reference mix can peak around minus 1 if you want it loudish. This audio version is shortened for playback.